I am the Ascended Master Saint Germain, and I come to give you the secret to the Golden Age. This is not a grandiose or special secret. It is not even really a secret. It is what they call a public secret, for it has been in the public's awareness for the past 2,000 years. For, of course, Jesus gave you the secret to the Golden Age when he said that unless you receive the kingdom as a little child, you shall in no wise enter into it. And this is truly the main secret to the Golden Age. The Golden Age will not be brought through force. The Golden Age will, of course, require work, but it will not be brought through work alone. It is not a mechanical process of bringing the Golden Age. So how will you bring the Golden Age? Not by working more, but by playing more. Bringing the Golden Age is a creative endeavor, and creativity has an element of play, of playfulness. Now, my beloved, if you step back from your own situation and look at people around the world, and you can actually do this if you are around people from different nationalities, you can look at the people and try to look beyond what you see with a physical eye. You can use your inner eye, your intuitive sense of vision. And although you may not physically see their energy fields, many of you will be able to tune in with your heart and sense their energy fields. And when you do this, you will sense that each nation, each race, each culture, each group of people that is clearly defined has its own burden. Every group is carrying a yoke, as we might say, that weighs them down, that gives them a certain characteristic in the energy field. And although each group has its own characteristic, they all have the same effect. They make people take themselves and lives very seriously. If you will look at yourselves as the people in South Korea, you can see that you also have a certain national, cultural, or national psychological element that makes many people take life very seriously. This begins for many of you in childhood, even with your parents before you go to school, but certainly when you enter the school system where you are paced to perform a certain way in order to get good grades. And you do this by working hard, by listening to what the teacher says, by learning by heart, so you are able to repeat what the teacher wants to hear, so you can get the good grades and go to the right schools and get the right jobs, and then live the life that has been defined for you. But I tell you, my beloved, many of you who are in the slightly younger generation have not come to live your entire lives according to the standard model of the Korean culture or any other culture around the earth. You have come because you wanted to bring here to help bring the Golden Age, and of course you do not bring the Golden Age by repeating the old patterns. Now, my beloved, I am not here trying to say that this is some major fault that all people have this burden. It is very understandable that many nations or other groupings of people have this burden. As an example, when you look at the people of South Korea, you see, of course, that in the slightly older generation, they experienced the war. They experienced that their country was 80% destroyed after the war, and they experienced the major undertaking it was to rebuild their country. And surely it was necessary to rebuild the country in order to set a foundation for the Golden Age. There is no dispute about this. There is no dispute about the fact that the older generation have done a magnificent job of rebuilding their country and creating a viable economy, a vibrant economy, and raising the standard of living. So I am not here trying to put any culture, any nationality down. You can go to every nationality and you can see that the burden they have is, of course, very understandable given their past, given their history. Is it any wonder that the Russian people have a certain burden? Is it any wonder that the German people or the Japanese people or the Chinese people have a certain burden given their past? It is no wonder. It is very understandable. But what I'm pointing out to you is that there was a certain generation of souls that came into embodiment in order to experience these very intense situations, some the Second World War, other the later wars or the Cold War. And they were part of that period, that phase in the growth of the earth and the collective consciousness. This was their karma, it was their dharma, it was their role in life. It is therefore understandable that due to the outer experiences they have had in their lifetime, they have taken on this national burden. It is understandable, my beloved. What I want to point out here is this. You who are the spiritual people, regardless of your age, you do not need to live the rest of your lives with this burden. Many of you who are younger do not belong to the generation who had it as their karma and dharma to experience these traumatic events. You belong to a different generation who are here to bring the golden age forward. And you do not do this by living your lives the way your parents did, by striving to learn and to work the way your parents did. And that is why there is a generation gap and a conflict between generations in many countries, because the older generation wants the best for their children, but they think the only way to get it is to do what they have done, only do it better, do it more intensely, and that is why they are pacing their children. But the children, of course, subconsciously, at inner levels, they know that this is not right for them. This is not the way that they can fulfill their dharma or balance their karma. They cannot fulfill their reason for taking embodiment by repeating what their parents did and doing it so intensely that it swallows up their lives. And so therefore, you need to look at your own nation or group and see what is it that they have taken on here, and how can I avoid having it burden me to the point where I take life so seriously and take myself so seriously that I cannot fulfill my divine plan and my role in bringing forth the golden age. Many of you who are spiritual students and are very sincere spiritual students have a tendency that when you find the teachings of the Ascended Masters or any other spiritual teaching, you will approach the teaching with the same way you have approached life until the point you found the teaching. So if you were brought up in a culture where people take themselves very seriously and they think they have to study hard and work hard, then you will approach the spiritual teaching the same way. You will use the teaching to justify your cultural perception filter. You will find elements of the teachings that makes you think that the teaching that the Ascended Masters requires you to take life and the spiritual path very seriously, that they require you to take yourself very seriously, that they require you to study hard, to work hard, to apply yourself, and to pace yourself. And therefore, you continue the pattern you have been in before of pacing yourself, of judging, evaluating, criticizing yourself, tearing yourself down, or whatever you have been doing. But now you think it is the Ascended Masters who are doing this to you. And this, my beloved, is not true. It is a product of your perception filter that you have taken on based on your culture, based on the group of people and the mindset that they have put upon you. It is also often something you carry with you from past lifetimes, for there is, of course, a reason why you chose to be born into a certain nationality, culture, or other grouping. My beloved, if you will look at the group you are born into, the collective consciousness you are born into, you will be able to see that there is some element of that collective consciousness that was the reason why you chose to be born there. And you chose to be born there because in past lives you have not freed yourself from that consciousness that is embodied in the collective of your group. And you know that you need to free yourself from it in this lifetime. You need to free yourself from it in order to be able to fulfill your divine plan and bring your contribution to the golden age. Many of you have gotten yourself into a state of mind where you feel burdened by your culture, by your upbringing, and you rebel against it in a certain way. You feel that this is not right, that you do not want to be here, that you are not thriving here. And this is very understandable, my beloved. But what I point out to you is that while something can be understandable, it does not mean that it is also constructive. It can be very understandable by people, why people are where they are in consciousness. But it is not constructive for them to think that they couldn't help it or that there's nothing they could do about it. There is something you can do about it. When you look at yourself, you look at your culture, and you say, why did I choose to come into embodiment in this particular culture? And then you can begin to look at what is the exact element of your collective culture that is irritating or burdening you the most. What is it that creates the strongest reaction in you? And then you will know that this is precisely the element that you need to overcome in order to fulfill your divine plan. It was this element that was the reason why you took embodiment in your particular culture. And there can be two reasons for it. Either you needed to resolve a certain burden in yourself because you have the same pattern and you have the same tendency to do to yourself what your culture is doing to you. And you need to come to see this, and you need to see, why am I doing this to myself? Why do I feel I'm not good enough? Why do I feel like my worth is determined by my outer station in society? Why do I feel like I have to pace myself so hard in order to prove my worth? Why do I feel that I always have to be worried about what other people think or say about me? There are many more of these mechanisms found around the world. But when you discover what it is, you can resolve the belief you have, which relates to where you do not see yourself as being worthy unless you live up to some outer standard. So this is one element of why you chose to be in this culture. You want to resolve this particular burden or pattern in your psychology. Another element is that there can be an element of the collective culture that you simply need to transcend, you need to move away from. And you may have to resolve something in yourself before you can do this. But there comes a point where you simply need to look at the culture and you need to say, no, I will not live this way. I will not judge myself this way. I will not take myself so seriously based on the criteria defined in this culture. So the alpha and omega of transcending your culture is to resolve whatever attachments, whatever patterns, whatever beliefs, whatever wounds you have that correspond to the national culture. But the other element is to come to the point where you simply decide, I will not submit to this pattern anymore. I will not submit to this culture. I will not let this culture stand in the way of me fulfilling my divine plan and bringing the golden age. And that is when you can begin to look at two things. You can begin to tune in to what is your divine plan. What are you here to bring forth? And when you get some feel for this, you can begin to look at your culture and say, how is my culture limiting or blocking my ability to bring forth what I can bring forth from above, from my higher being, from the ascended masters? And then you can begin to decide that you will transcend this. Some of you may need to move away from your culture for a time to get a different perspective, but others can do it while staying in your home country if that is where your mission is. Of course, it is entirely possible that you can be born in a certain country, but your divine plan is not in that country. But still, you need to overcome whatever was the reason you chose to be born in that country before you are free to move. And so, what I'm pointing out to you here is that if you will make the effort, if you will stand back and look at yourself and look at your culture, then you can come to this point where you suddenly see why you have been taking yourself so seriously, why you have taken life so seriously, why you have taken the spiritual path so seriously. And then you can begin to relax. You can begin to do what the messenger said. Accept yourself for who you are. And you can begin, my beloved, to enjoy being on the path, to enjoy being an embodiment, to enjoy fulfilling your divine plan and making your contribution. You see, my beloved, there is a tendency for people, as I said, to transfer their cultural bias, their cultural perception filter to the Ascended Masters. Many people who come from a culture like, for example, South Korea, believe that life is somewhat of a struggle. Life requires hard work and hard study. And then when you work hard, somehow there will be a reward in the end. Many people work their entire lives without really realizing what the reward might be. And then when they lose their job or retire, they realize that this was not the reward they were hoping for. And they are disappointed, and many people end up feeling that their lives were wasted because they were striving for something and they never quite attained it. Well, my beloved, I can assure you that when I look back at this almost a century where we have given Ascended Master teachings, going back to the time when I released the Violet Flame and a knowledge of the Violet Flame so many years ago, I can see that there is a certain percentage of the spiritual students who have approached the spiritual path according to their cultural bias. They have thought that we of the Ascended Masters are either like the God that they were brought up to see, such as the angry judgmental being in the sky, or that we demanded the same of them that their culture demanded. And so you come to the spiritual path and you are applying yourself to the spiritual path with your cultural bias, and you project that it is we of the Ascended Masters who are demanding this of you. But you see, my beloved, we are demanding nothing from you. We are not the ones who are causing you to take yourself and life and the path seriously. For we know, of course, what is the key to spiritual growth. And it is to shift your consciousness, and it is not a mechanical but a creative process. Right? With creative, I mean something very specific. When you look at a mechanical process, it is something that people can do mechanically, meaning they are conscious, but they are not consciously aware of what they are doing. Take a look, for example, at the manufactories where people are sitting at an assembly line and they have a few tasks to do to a product unit that is moving by them. They have to put a screw in here and a nut on here, and or they have to do something else. And they sit there and repeat this process many times a day. And this is something that they can do. And of course they are conscious, but they are not really aware. They are not really awake. They are mechanically doing this. Perhaps their mind is elsewhere, or perhaps their mind is in some state that is almost a coma. And there are many people who go through their entire lives in this mechanical state of consciousness where they are never fully aware of what they are doing. And there are many, many people who find the spiritual path and they apply themselves to the spiritual path with this mechanical mindset. And they think it is a matter of studying a teaching, doing decrees, doing invocations, meditating, going to conferences, doing this, doing that. And they think that if they do all the outer things, then one day there will be a reward, for somehow magically they will be transformed into beings with a higher state of consciousness. But what we have attempted to point out for a long time, and what we have especially attempted to point out through this messenger, because it is the core of the Aquarian message, is that this mechanical approach to the spiritual path will not work. It is those who, as Jesus said, attempt to take heaven by force, those who are like the scribes and Pharisees who think it is enough to do the outer things, and that this is what the spiritual path is all about. We have seen Ascended Master students, my beloved, who have applied themselves very eagerly and with great determination and with great effort to giving decrees and following the path in a certain way. And then when they have done it for 10 or 20 or 30 years, they have come to a point where they somehow can't do it anymore. And now they feel disappointed. They may even feel they have been deceived by the Ascended Masters. And they begin to doubt whether the path is real, whether the Masters are real, whether there is any point in trying to do anything. But the reason for this is that these people have not locked into the inner path, the inner creative path, which is all about one thing: stepping outside of your normal state of awareness and looking at yourself, looking at life with a greater sense of awareness. Then coming to see that here is a pattern in your psychology that is holding you back. It is making you suffer. It is making you feel that life is not what it should be. It is making you take life seriously. It is causing you emotional pain or mental confusion. It is causing you to see yourself as a limited being who cannot go beyond certain boundaries. When you see this pattern consciously, when you really see it, when you see the decision behind it, then you can consciously make a different decision, and then you have taken a decisive step forward on the spiritual path. Now, my beloved, our decrees and invocations do indeed work in terms of transforming the energy that makes it difficult for you to step back and look at yourself with higher awareness. But nevertheless, stepping back and looking at yourself is not a mechanical process. It is something you need to do consciously. And that is why I call it a creative process, because it requires self-awareness, self-observation, and the willingness to make a decision. There are many people who have looked at creativity as an inspirational process. There are many writers or painters who feel like at certain times they are magically given inspiration from some source, and then they can paint, or then they can write, or then they can play music, or then they can come up with new ideas. But my beloved, this is because these people are not consciously aware, and they do not have conscious mastery of the creative process. What we are calling you who are our students to do is to step up to a higher approach where you seek to gain conscious awareness of the creative process, so that you are not passively waiting for inspiration, but you are actively seeking inspiration. This messenger found the Ascended Master teachings many years ago, and for a number of years he applied himself very eagerly and with great determination and great effort. And then there came a point where he realized that it was time to step up to a different approach. In fact, he realized that it was not us, the Ascended Masters, who were demanding that he should work so hard. It was he himself who was making this demand upon himself. And therefore, he could have continued to work so hard for the rest of his life without making progress. There was no external force, there was no external karma that demanded that he should do it this way for a certain amount of time. He needed to do it this way until he inside himself came to the resolution that it was time to step up to a higher approach. And you, of course, all can follow the same process of coming to that inner realization that the true inner path is about self-observation and seeing these patterns and then overcoming them, letting something go and deciding to adopt a higher approach, deciding to adopt a higher reality, a higher view of life and of yourself. And this is truly what I desire for all of you. I have said it before, my beloved, that I do not desire to see my students suffer and feel that the path is a burden for them for a lifetime. And then at the end of their life, when they have left the body and they go through a life review, they realize that all of their striving and all of their suffering and all of their judging and pacing themselves had not actually enabled them to fulfill their divine plans fully. Therefore, I desire all of you to come to the realization of what it is your gift to bring forth so that you can begin to bring it forth. But you will not come to that realization if you feel that the path is just another work, is just another burden that I am putting on you. My beloved, the golden age, bringing the golden age of Saint Germain, is not a burden. It is not a duty. It is not something you absolutely have to do. I am not forcing anyone to work on bringing forth the golden age, my beloved. I have no desire whatsoever to see you live the rest of your life feeling so burdened, taking yourself and the spiritual path and life so seriously. I have no desire to see you live the rest of your life in this state of not accepting yourself and always feeling like you are not doing enough or you are behind. I desire you to overcome this pattern in your psychology so that you can return to that state of being as the little child who is joyfully and lovingly experimenting with life. Now, in order to return to that state, I wish to present you with two things for your consideration. There are, of course, many things that could be said for this, and probably many things will be said by us, but nevertheless, I wish to present you two things. One is that you need to overcome this sense that is so ingrained in many cultures that the material world, that the mother realm, is deficient or is malicious or is opposing you, is not wanting to give you what you think you need or what you desire to have. There are many, many cultures that have this consciousness of lack. And again, when you look at the history of those cultures, it is very understandable why the old generation had this sense. Certainly, when you look at your parents here in Korea, you can see that they had to struggle. And therefore, it is understandable that they have accepted this very subtle sense that there is a lack in nature and that they have to work very hard and almost force nature to give them more abundance. But you who are the younger generation, you who are the spiritual people of any generation, you can look beyond this cultural bias and you can work on reconciling yourself with Mother Nature, with the Mother Realm, with the Matter Realm. You can come to accept what was said by Jesus, that it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, but that God the Father gives you the kingdom through God the Mother, that is the material realm. And you can then use the many teachings we have given, including Mother Mary's teachings in A Course in Abundance, of how you can come to see that the Mother Realm will give you what you desire, but she can only reflect back to you what you are projecting upon the matter light. And therefore, you need to overcome that consciousness of lack that has been put upon you by your parents and by your culture. The same, of course, is true in so many other parts of the world where their parents or grandparents experienced the wars and experienced the struggle of building a more affluent society. And, of course, I am well aware that there are many parts of the world where they still have not achieved an affluent society, but I am speaking specifically for those who have achieved some level of material abundance that allows you to actually focus on other aspects of life rather than working so hard on physical material survival. But you also, as a second thing, need to come to that point where you realize that your divine plan was not something that was put upon you by an external force. There are many spiritual students who come to the spiritual path, and then they hear us say, oh, we need you to give these decrees and invocations to transform the negative energy that is burdening you personally or burdening the world. We need you to study. We need you to raise your consciousness. We need you to do this, and we need you to do that. And many people then apply their cultural bias, and they think that we are now requiring you to work so hard on bringing forth the elements of your divine plan. And my beloved, it is not that we do not need some spiritual students to do work, and because there are not so many spiritual students who are open to our teachings, we very much appreciate when you do work and when you do many decrees and invocations, because they have a positive effect. So I am not saying that you should not make an effort, but I am saying that you should make a balanced effort so that your life is not swallowed up by either working to earn a living and then in your spare time giving decrees and invocations, and you never have time to step back and look at your life and ask yourself, do I want to live this way the rest of my life? What is my divine plan? What are the elements of my divine plan? And so what I want to point out to you is that many people can have this sense that fulfilling your divine plan is an obligation, it's a duty, it's hard work, it's something you just have to do because some external force requires it of you. But this is not true, and you need to work consciously on reconciling yourself with your divine plan and realizing that your divine plan is not put upon you from any external source. It is what you chose. It is just that when you chose your divine plan, you had a broader perspective than you have right now when you are inside the four lower bodies and looking at life through that filter. When you made your divine plan, you could look at a broader perspective and you could see what you wanted to do, what you wanted to bring forth. And when you begin to look into this, my beloved, you can realize that there are two elements of your divine plan. There is the karma you needed to balance and the psychology you needed to resolve on one side. And this, in a sense, could be seen as the work you have to do, because it stands in the way of the second part of your divine plan, which is to bring your gift to this planet. But my beloved, bringing your gift is not a burden. It is not an obligation. It is not hard work. It is play. The key to bringing your gift is the childlike mind. What does the childlike mind have? It has no worries about how it is going to receive a living, how it is going to get food or a roof over its head, for it feels that this is taken care of. And you can come to a point where you have made peace with the mother, and you have taken practical steps to provide a living for yourself, and therefore you can let this worry go away. You know that this can happen, that this is going to happen, and it may require some amount of your time and energy, but it will not swallow up your life. And so the rest of the time you can focus on your gift without having to worry about all these practical things. And your gift is the other element of being a child, which is that you are not working, you are playing. Look at how many of you can barely remember a childhood where you were just allowed to play. Because for so many of you, even in early childhood, it was put upon you. You have to work. You have to do what is required. You have to fulfill your duty. But you can nevertheless come to a point where, again, you allow yourself to be the child. You allow yourself to play. And that is when you will begin to truly lock into the gift aspect of your divine plan. And you will begin to realize that you chose to bring this gift because you knew it was what would give you the greatest joy, the greatest satisfaction, the greatest sense of purpose in life. There may be many of you who have been brought up by your parents to always look at life in very practical terms of how you need to get a good job. And in order to get a good job, you need to get a good education. And therefore, you'll need to look at what jobs are there in your society, what kind of education do you need to get this job. And therefore, you have, for the first part of your life, you have focused on practical outer measures. Now, for some of you, you will be able to use this, your skills, your experience, in providing a living for yourself so you do not have to worry about the practical aspects. But for others, you will come to a point where you realize that what you did in terms of getting an education really did not have anything to do with the gift of your divine plan. This messenger is an example of this, where he strove to get a certain education, but then came to realize that this was not truly what he was meant to bring forth as his gift to this planet. And so he worked for a long time on discovering that gift, and then he realized that it was being a messenger for the Ascended Masters, being a writer, and bringing forth all of these new ideas. And certainly this has given him greater joy, greater sense of purpose, greater sense of fulfillment than anything else he could have done with his education, even though that could also have been creative work. And many of you, it is the same way. You will not do what this messenger is doing, and many of you will find a way to be active in society, to be out there in the working life, so you are provided a comfortable living. But you can still find that there are ways whereby you can bring forth something new, something that gives you a sense of satisfaction of being creative. And you will do this when you can play with whatever you are doing. Many of you have, as I said, you have had it put upon you from early childhood. You need to get an education, you need to get a job, you need to work hard, because this is the way you get ahead in life. And so you tend to look upon your work life as a burden, something that you have to get over with, and then when you are off of work, you can have some enjoyment in your spare time. But for many of you, it will be possible to make the switch in consciousness, where you actually realize that you can express your gift, the gift aspect of your divine plan, through your work. And therefore, you can begin to play with certain elements of your work. You can find a new way to approach work. Maybe you can find a new job, a new position. But you are finding a way to make it playful instead of being this burden that you long to get away from. And that is when you will feel that doors will begin to open up. You will begin to see something you could not see before. And suddenly an opportunity will open, and it just seems like the natural next step to walk through that door, and you do it, and now you are in a different situation where you feel more free to express your creativity. So, my beloved, what I'm pointing out to you is this. The spiritual path has stages. There is a certain stage where you simply cannot see what is beyond that stage. You cannot see what is at the next stage. You can just think of what it feels like to go into the elevator in this tall building And you are in a closed room where you cannot see what is outside the windows. But then you can ride up to a certain floor, and when you get to that floor, you can see what you could not see from the ground level. You can see what is behind the trees. You can see what is behind the hill. And then you can go even higher, and then you can see what is behind the other buildings that are lower than the building you are in. And that is the way it is on the spiritual path. Right now, you are at a certain stage, and you tend to take this stage seriously. You tend to feel certain limitations. And this is understandable, my beloved, but is it constructive? If you could shift your awareness, if you could begin to consciously decide that you will not take yourself and life so seriously, that you will make an effort to play more, or rather, you will make a conscious decision to stop making so much of an effort, to stop working so hard, to stop being so serious, so driven. But instead, you will step back and focus more on the playful aspects of your situation. If you would do this, if you would make an effort to stop making an effort, then you would see that something would open up very gradually, and you will begin to get a broader perspective, and you can see not necessarily where you are going 10 years from now, but you can see a door opening that you had not seen before. And then you can see that your next step is to walk through that door. My beloved, there is no one who has ever been an embodiment who has had the full awareness of their divine plan or how their life was going to unfold for the rest of that lifetime. Not even Jesus knew this ahead of time. We all have to start where we are and then open ourselves up to see the next step. And then when that door opens, we move through the door without knowing what is behind that door. But we have confidence that this is the natural step to take. Then when we are at that next level, we again work on increasing our perspective, increasing our vision, and then we see the next door. And you can come to a point where you have made peace with the fact that this is the way life is. This is what we have called the river of life, where you are at peace with being where you are at peace with flowing with the river, because you know that the right doors will open at the right time, and when you are in attunement, when you are playful, when you are willing to flow with life, you will get to the right place at the right time, including getting to your ascension point at the end of this lifetime. And so this is what we call being in the river of life. It is not that you know everything. It is not that you are guaranteed a certain result. But the results are no longer as important as the process, because you are enjoying the process rather than being so focused on the result. I talked about the people who work their whole lives always running like a donkey is running in front of the carrot that is hanging in front of its nose, but they are never catching up. They are never feeling that anything is enough or good enough. This is not what we desire to see for you. We desire to see you be at peace with being who you are, being where you are at on the path, being where you are at in life. My beloved, this messenger has realized many years ago that the key to moving on from a certain situation is to come to a point where there is nothing in the situation that causes a reaction in you. And therefore, you are not actually longing to get away from the situation. You are at peace with being in the situation. And when you come to the point where you are at peace with being in a certain situation, that is when you are free to move on. And that is when you will see doors opening. As long as you are struggling, as long as you are rebelling against being where you are, you cannot move on. And why can't you move on? Because, my beloved, you put yourself in your current situation because there is a lesson you have not learned. There is something in your psychology you have not seen. As long as you are struggling against the situation, the tension you are creating by struggling makes it impossible for you to step back and look at your reaction and say, why am I reacting this way? What is the mechanism in my psychology? What is the belief I have that causes me to react this way? And it is only when you do step back that you can overcome the tension. And when you see what the pattern is that is creating the tension, then you can resolve it. And then when you are standing there looking at the situation, which for example can be the way you react to your parents, then you can come to the point where now you have resolved the element in your psychology that caused you to react to your parents. And now you can look at your parents and say, but now that I have no negative reaction to my parents, they are actually very nice people, and I can live with them. And that is the moment where you are free to say, but does the fact that I can live with them mean that I want to live with them? And that is when you will find that suddenly a door will open up and you will see that maybe it is your divine plan to move somewhere else, but you are not doing it to get away from your parents. You're not moving, you're not running away from something. You are moving into something higher. You are moving into a new situation. And maybe it isn't even necessary for you to break off your relationship with your parents or your family or your society. Maybe it is just necessary for you to shift your perspective. And I can promise you that in many cases, when you shift your perspective, the dynamic you have with other people will also shift, even if they are not consciously working on their psychology, because you will treat them differently. And in many cases, this will cause them to treat you differently. And if they are not able or willing to do that, well, then you can be at peace with moving on, or maybe even recognizing that you will have a relationship with your parents at a certain level. It will be on their terms, and it will be what it will be. But it is not going to limit you, because you are going to walk your path in life, the path that you desire to walk. And you are going to be at peace with that. And so, my beloved, what I point out to you is this. The key to fulfilling your divine plan and the key to bringing the golden age is to see it as an act of playfulness. And for this to happen for you, you need to look at what are the elements in my life and in my own psychology that prevent me from playing, that might even make me think that it's somehow wrong to play. It is ironic, my beloved, that your parents are the ones who give you life, and they are the ones who take care of you during your childhood. And therefore, ideally, your parents should be the ones who give you a safe environment in which you can allow yourself to be children and allow yourself to play. But ironically, in many cases, it is precisely your parents that are the greatest limitation for the children, because the parents destroy the children's ability to play and to approach life from a playful perspective. The parents are the ones who are putting on their children something that makes it difficult for the children to relate to life with playfulness. But you who are spiritual students, you can consciously overcome this pattern of whatever was put upon you by your parents or your culture. And you can come to the point where you can look at your parents, you can look at your culture, but it is not limiting you. You are not forced into a reactionary pattern. You are still able to play. And if you can do this, my beloved, you will make a major contribution to changing your culture and bringing it up to the golden age level. Because, as I said, the culture that has brought many nations to their present level cannot bring them into the golden age. You will, of course, also make a big contribution to making your own life easier and more enjoyable. And this is truly what we all desire to see for you, where you can enjoy being an embodiment on this earth. We know there are many problems and challenges on this earth, but, my beloved, when you are in the golden age mindset, the challenges will not prevent you from being at peace with being an embodiment, being at peace with being who you are, being at peace with fulfilling your divine plan. And when you are at peace, you can be playful. How can you be playful when you are not at peace, my beloved? And so, this is what we desire to see for you. My beloved, think about Jesus' statement, "Unless you become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom." Why is that, my beloved? Because it is the childlike mind that makes you open to receiving a gift. And for the golden age of Saint Germain to be manifest in the physical, the process required is this way. I am an ascended master. I am envisioning from my perspective the vision for the golden age. But I cannot force this into physical manifestation. It can be brought into physical manifestation only when those of you who are in embodiment accept it as a gift, accept elements of it as a gift. But you cannot receive it as a gift unless you are open to receiving it. If you think it requires a struggle and hard work and effort, how can you receive the gift, my beloved? The golden age is a gift from me to humankind, and gifts must be received before they have an impact in the material realm. And only you who are the spiritual people can receive it. But you can receive it only when you have the childlike mind of a child that allows you to play with life, to play with the path. When you see that I am not a strict master that makes demands on you, but I am a loving master who is perfectly willing to give you the gift, then you can receive what I offer this planet. And so I leave you with these many thoughts, and I hope you will ponder them and use them to step back and look at the elements in your life that have taken away your innocence and that are preventing you from playing with life from that wonderful state of mind that we have called the childlike mind, but it really is more than any child expresses on earth. It truly is that inner state, that inner sense, that innocence of knowing that you are one with the ascended masters above and with all life below. And therefore, you are in the figure eight flow between spirit and matter that truly is the river of life. I am in that river. And for the next 2,000 years, one might even say that I am the river of life for planet Earth. You too can be in that river even while you are in physical embodiment. The question I put before you is, will you continue to struggle against the current of the river? Or will you make the conscious decision to flow with the river of life that I am?